Welcome to All Being Well, the podcast for not-profit, charity and social enterprise professionals. My name is Claire Warner and I'm a wellbeing strategist and management coach who helps purpose-driven professionals and organisations to recognise and embrace the benefits of individual and workplace wellbeing. I've created this podcast to help you identify some of the causes of unwellbeing in your work and personal life, and to help and inspire you to put well-being at the centre of everything you do and to reap the benefits. We'll be talking about the different areas where using a well-being focus can have a positive impact and talking to people who've already done so they can share their stories with you. Think of this as your regular guide to well-being beyond the yoga and quinoa. Welcome back to this week's episode of the All Being Well podcast. I have been doing a lot of work with clients on some of my programs and on some of the one-to-one coaching that I do in the last few weeks. And this topic that I'm going to talk to you about today is something that seems to come as a bit of a surprise to people all of the time. You may or may not have seen me, heard me in other places talking about the essentials of self-care and about how actually, self-care itself is essential. It's not a luxury. It's not something that we fit in after we fitted in work and all the other things we have to do. Self-care is the building block that says, okay, now I can do some work, and now I can do some peopling, and now I can do some parenting, and now I can do some relationshiping, and now I can do whatever it is. But if we're not looking after ourselves, we can't do any of those other things. And when I talk to people about self-care and what should make up your self-care routine, what should be in those things that you think about, we get to the topic of rest. And people will regularly say to me, yeah, I sleep okay. Now, sleep is separate than rest. So the topic of today's podcast episode is waking rest. Is what is the thing that you do that isn't sleep that allows you to restore yourself, that it allows you to seek equilibrium, get rid of the noise in particular areas, but that you do while you're awake? Sleep is indeed a type of rest, but it's not the only type of rest we need. And so the topic of today's podcast is waking rest. I have been aware of the importance of waking rest for a number of years now. It's something that I have worked really hard to decide for me, or to find out for me, what is the thing that most regularly I am able to do that brings me waking rest. Like many people, I'm not habitually very good at doing nothing. In fact, I'm so bad at doing nothing that I actually have to plan to do something, or I have to plan what that nothing is in order for me to be able to do it. If I plan a day off work, unless I actually create a plan or arrange to do something with somebody or to do something separately, I can't. I'm itching to do something. I'm not very good at unspecified rest, let's call it that. And I know that rest that does me really good is rest where I don't need to be anything to anybody. I don't need to be a business owner. I don't need to be somebody who, a coach. I don't need to be a program deliverer. I don't need to be a mum. I don't need to be a wife. I don't need to be a whole host of all of the things where I can just be. And I know that, I think I've talked about this previously, the 10, 15 minutes I spend in a morning outside in my garden, usually, unless the weather is too awful, before anybody else in my house is awake, just being, just enjoying the amazingness of that very first cup of coffee of the day and looking out at the world and thinking what an amazing place it is to be, you know, welcome to another day on planet Earth. I find that time that I have really, really amazing. It really helps build me up for a great day. But I also know that there are times when what I need is rest from the mental noise, rest from the very, very many tabs there are open in my brain. And I know that for me, one of the ways of getting that rest is to watch something lighthearted, entertaining, that I don't really have to invest very much effort into thinking about or understanding on the television, or listening to a podcast or something like that. But generally for me, it will involve lying down on the sofa and watching something probably that I've watched before on the television, but that I get that escapism from. It was only in doing some work around, well, what other kinds of rest are there that I could start helping people bring to their lives, that I found the most amazing TED Talk on this topic by an American lady called Saundra Dalton Smith. And she is a clinician of some description. She's based in America, and she has done a TED Talk on the concept of rest. And literally the opening line of this TED Talk and the intro to the TED Talk got me. It says something along the lines of, have you ever had that feeling where you've had a really amazing night's sleep, but you still wake up knackered? Or something like that. I'm paraphrasing badly. But I read that and I went, ooh, yes, that's me. I can get some of that. She, within her work, within that TED Talk, which I will link in the notes so that you can go watch it, she talks about 7 different types of rest. And that's just what I wanted to talk to you about today. I think it's really interesting concept. I think it's something that every time I introduce these to other people, they go, ooh, that one might be the one for me now. So have a listen, see what you think. There may be, I'm not suggesting that all 7 are necessarily current for you today, but it might be that one of the 7 is what you need to hear today. And so let's talk about rest. So I was already aware that there are 2 different types of physical rest that I talked about to people, which was active rest and passive rest. So physical rest is where we rest that doesn't involve very much effort from the brain or from the body. So that it could be kind of just chilling out if you're able to do that. It could be listening to an audiobook. It could be TV. It could be something like that. But that kind of physical rest where you don't physically have to do anything to achieve that rest, that is passive physical rest. Then there's also active physical rest. So active physical rest is something where you actually have to put effort in order to derive the rest benefits from that activity. So activities such as yoga, stretching, massage, mindfulness, meditation, those kinds of things, those are active physical rest. Those are things that are helping you to rest your body. You're not necessarily doing a lot, but you have to do something in order for the benefits of that rest to be felt. So physical rest has 2 elements. It has passive elements, or there are active elements. The second type of rest is one that I talk to regularly with most clients, and it is mental rest. And mental rest can come in a number of different formats. There is lots of research out there that suggests that once you have been working on something for 90 minutes, anything that happens after that 90 minutes is on a downward trajectory of quality, of productivity, of performance. Of once you get to 90 minutes, you have reached the optimum level of where any further work without taking a break happens. So anything after 90 minutes actually is having a sliding scale of returns that says at 90 minutes, you should have a break. Now, at 90 minutes, you don't necessarily need to have a 2-week break in the Bahamas, albeit that might be quite nice. But just having a 5-minute break that says, I'm going to give my brain a break from thinking about the thing I've been working on for 90 minutes, that gives you stand up, you give your body a break from sitting in the position you've been sitting in. I regularly talk with clients around how hydration and rest can, and mental rest can help each other. If you keep drinking enough throughout the day, you're going to need to get up to visit the bathroom often enough that you're going to automatically, 2 birds, 1 stone, keep yourself hydrated and get that mental rest, those little breaks of mental rest that you need. So that's the short, little, snappy, let me just give my brain that active part of my brain that I've been using for the last hour and a half for writing the report or doing this budget or whatever the thing is. You need those little micro breaks to help you retain your productivity, your focus, your motivation throughout the day. Then you need those longer breaks. So you need those longer mental breaks that say, I need to learn to relax. I need to learn to, I do it myself. Many of us will go full wallop all the way through the day and then suddenly expect our brain to switch off immediately when we want to go to sleep. Recommended by a friend, I can't even remember which friend it was, which is really bad. I hate doing that, or I can't tell you who it was that told me about it. I now set an alarm at 9:30 at night, which tells me it's now 9:30 and I need to stop doing all the things I'm doing if I want to be in bed and going to sleep by 10 o'clock, which is the time of night I would like to be going to sleep by. So sometimes I am already stopped. I have already relaxed. It doesn't always happen, but I know there is an alarm that says, yo, Claire, you want to go to bed in 30 minutes. So here is your alarm, not to tell you to wake up, but to tell you to start packing it up and start putting things away. Start closing those open browser windows in your head. Start getting ready to get rid of some of those things in your head and go to sleep. If you don't know this already about me, I have a very bad short-term memory, and I sleep with a notebook next to my bed so that I can write down the things that I know I'm thinking about at night that I need to remember the following day when I wake up, and that having written them down allows me to feel I have put those thoughts somewhere, so it's okay to close them down. I also sometimes wake up thinking about things, write them down, and then go back to sleep again. I used to leave myself a voicemail, but that started disturbing other people, so now I write it down. But knowing that you can have that mental rest that is going to assist your sleep is also a really important part of rest, having that downtime of your brain. And then if you haven't heard about it, there's an amazing book called Rest by a chap called Alex Pang. Fundraising Everywhere, and the wonderful Leslie Pinder did a really brilliant interview with Alex on the book. I'm sure it's still online. You can go find it on Fundraising Everywhere. But there was something that really struck me about that session when Alex was talking about our need to take our annual leave and that we need to use it proportionately. That a lot of us will save up annual leave and use it either for one big holiday or end up losing it or having to take it at a time because you're about to lose the annual leave. But he was saying that in order for us to operate, not just in work, but in life at an optimum level, that to regularly take a break away from whatever is our norm for a number of days helps that restorative rest and helps that mental rest. So his suggestion was that if you have, for example, 4 weeks of annual leave, that you should be taking some leave, some extended leave, at least every quarter. So every 12 weeks, you should be taking a week of that leave. If you need to save some up for a longer holiday in the summer, then add days onto the side of a weekend. But Alex's book on the subject of rest, and particularly this section around just the benefits to you mentally of taking that rest away from the phone and all of the things you have to think about, being able to change it, changing that, you will have heard of the saying, a change is as good as a rest, certainly is for your brain. Doing detailed work, you use a very different part of your brain than you do for exercising or doing something artistic or doing something that's to do with music or something like that. So giving your brain a really good, giving that mental rest a really good go. So over those three different areas, over how can we give those micro breaks throughout the day that just help bring it back, bring levels back down? How can we prepare ourselves for sleep by folding away the mental things we need to fold away to allow us to stop thinking about things to go to sleep? And then how can we book in those longer periods of rest so that we are able to fully give that section of our brain a really good break through annual leave, through booking a trip or a holiday or going on an art retreat or whatever your thing is, but taking those three areas of mental rest and applying them to your plans for the coming year absolutely would be an amazing thing to do for yourself over the next few days. The next type of rest that Sandra talks about is sensory rest. If you think about, particularly in the last couple of years, and just how reliant we have been on Zoom calls, on electronics, on devices, on computer screens, on bright lights, on Zoom filters in some of our cases, but we have been even more than ever reliant on screens all day for work and then screens in the evening, or we're on social media, on phones, whatever it is, that is taking its toll on our eyes and on an area of rest that we absolutely need to be mindful of. So closing our eyes, taking 2 minutes or a couple of minutes in the middle of the day, or when after you've taken your break, or during those micro breaks we were talking about, to be able to close your eyes and turn off the sound and just give your senses that break is absolutely something else we should be thinking about adding into our day, or just being mindful of when we're thinking, I have just got 2 minutes just to close my eyes and remove myself from all of these sensory interventions. And then again, removing, having that sensory rest that's going to allow you is going to far better enable that really good sleep that you're aiming to get at the end of the day. So being able to remove the screens and the noise and the lights and preparing your brain and your senses for sleep, you are removing that stimulus, it's going, and you are unplugging, if you will, at the end of the day. So that was the third one. The fourth type of rest that Sandra talks about is creative rest. Creative rest, she describes as being important for anyone who has to solve problems or brainstorm or come up with new ideas. It's really difficult to come up with those ideas when you are immersed in other stuff. I don't know if you've ever noticed that the spaghetti in your brain, the solution you're looking for, the thing you're trying to come up with, an answer, you're trying to solve a problem, you're trying to come up with something new. And it might be that the idea comes to you while you're washing your hair in the shower, or while you are out walking the dog, or while you are outside in nature, or whatever it is. But actually creating that very different environment for your brain in which it can operate, so that the side of our brain that we use to do the very fine analytical stuff and the I've got to work this out, and that sits in one side of the brain, and the side of the brain which says, I've got to flow, I need to have things that are, ideas are flowing and you know, your creative juices are flowing, that side of your brain operates very differently than the side that says, no, I have got to censor this, I have got to make sense of it, that I've got to strip out all the things. And literally the two cannot operate at the same time. It is, one is open, it's almost like a switch. One is open and one is closed. You can't do both. And so if what you're looking for is that brainstorming, that creativity, that coming up with new ideas, you need to flick off the switch that does anything around rationalizing, that does anything about making sense of things, that does anything about sorting or censorship or editing. You need to have the side open that is about creativity and flow. And to do that, you need to be able to surround yourself with things that are going to help that flow happen. If you can't get yourselves outdoors, then put pictures up of your favorite place, put a favorite piece of artwork up, listen to some kind of flowing kind of music. But allowing yourself creative rest, it's actually rest that enables creativity to happen, rather than not being creative. You need to be able to operate that switch, just like once you've then come up with those 100 ideas, you need to be able to switch the switch back the other way that says, okay, now rational thought needs to say which of these is going to work and how am I going to, you need to do the editing. But editing and thinking do not happen in the same part of the brain and do not happen at the same time. So creative rest means rest to allow that creativity to happen. Find a favorite image, find a favorite place, go for a walk, go do something where you are not doing any of that analytical editorial thinking. That's number four. Emotional rest is something that certainly in the not-profit charity sector that we need to be very mindful of. I have found it really interesting, to be honest, in the last few years that emotional rest is something that I hadn't, that had never really occurred to me, but that in the line of work that I now do, which is helping other people through periods of challenge or periods of change or things that are going on or where they want to make positive change, actually I end up taking on a lot of other people's emotions or their feelings or their worries or their challenges. And so being able to say, I need some emotional rest. I need some point where I am A, focusing on my own emotions, and B, able to temporarily put down those emotions of others. That's something that I've had to find a way of doing. We also, people who work in organizations where your cause or your beneficiaries or where the actual reason for being of your organization is something that can be quite emotionally charged, it's really important that we find a way of putting that emotional charge down to give ourselves emotional rest. We need to be able to feel that we too are able to freely express our feelings, that we're able to do that, that we are able to say, I appreciate that this is highly emotionally charged, and absolutely, my role or the way of life that I have involves me taking on and helping to share that emotional burden of others, but I also need to find a way to put it down. I also need to find a way to give myself that emotional rest. So finding a way for you to say permission, first of all, it's okay for me to put this down for now. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not saying it's not important to me. I'm not saying that I have had enough and don't come to me with this. But you have to find a way of giving yourself emotional rest. How can you put that away? I like to think about, might work for you, might not. I like to think about mental boxes. That if there's something that I just need to give myself a break from thinking about, In my mind, I open a box and I put the thing in it and I close the lid and I put on that box a date and time when I'm going to reopen that box. So it might be, I'm going to reopen this tomorrow morning at 9:30 after I've finished my first morning call. Abby, this is when I'm going to reopen it. But because in my mind, I can see that box, I know what's in it, and I can also see the label on it that says tomorrow morning at 9:30, it's almost like I have given myself permission that it's not gone anywhere. I have done no disrespect to the thing. I'm not ignoring it, but that's the point at which I'm now not going to open that box until I have filed it away. It's still there and I can bring it back when I am emotionally rested. Might work for you. If it doesn't, go find something else. It might be about writing it down. It might be about physically putting something away somewhere or putting it in your diary or just coming up with a mechanism for you. But first of all, recognition that emotional rest is important. Second of all, giving yourself permission for emotional rest. And third of all, finding a way for you to achieve it could be really helpful for lots of people in our sector. The sixth area is social rest. Social rest is a really interesting concept, depending on who you are, what your social choices, what your social preferences are. I have, in a couple of weeks' time, I am going to present a workshop at a conference in London. It will be my first in-person conference since before lockdown. And I have really mixed emotions about it, really mixed emotions about it. I have not suffered as much as many other people have during lockdown. Not being able to be with other people albeit I'm exceptionally lucky in that I have my family here, I have people around me that I am able to speak to on a regular basis, possibly not face to face, but I didn't suffer so badly through lockdown with not being able to be with people. And I know that in those circumstances, that was a really fortunate position to be in. I know there are lots of people who really did find that very, very challenging. I'm finding the opposite challenging. I'm finding actually having going back and being with three-dimensional people. I'm not scared of it, but it's certainly in the back of my mind that I have got to get back into peopling, if you will. I've also got to find some trousers to get back into, but that's a whole other topic. But social rest is around where does social activity actually add to and bring joy to your life? And where does social activity potentially take away from and start taking some of the joy away from your life? There are always going to be people who exhaust us. There are always going to be people who we feel take rather than give. There are also always going to be those people who absolutely bring the joy, the fire, the laughter, the camaraderie, the, in my case, sarcasm to your life, who you know, these are people you will share with, you will equally bring joy to each other and support each other. But there are absolutely instances where that is not a two-way street, where it is a one-way street, and we can't always remove ourselves from that situation. We don't always want to remove ourselves from the situation. But what you do need to remember is that you need rest from that situation. If you are in relationships or in social situations where some of these things exhaust you, certainly for me as an inherent introvert, there are times even when I am with the people I really, 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 really want to be with, I'm ready to just not be with anybody, that I have just, that it has now exhausted me and I now need to go and go and have every kind of rest. That's not just about introverts, but we need to be mindful that, again, like the emotional rest, that you don't have to always be there, that you don't have to always be with part of the social makeup that says this is all about take and it's not about give. And it is okay for you to be able to say, I'm going to have some social rest. I'm not going to come to the thing. I'm not going to take you up on that offer. No, I'm not available for a call today. No, I'm not. We don't need to make excuses. We don't need to give reasons. One of the things I love saying to people is that the word no is a complete sentence, or no thank you, if that's what you would rather have. But you don't need to justify it. You do need to remember that if this is striking a chord, if you're thinking, do you know, I just need some social rest, you could just say, not today, thank you. Find your way. If that's the thing that you need for now, find your way of saying, actually, no, really, it's not for me at the moment, thank you. Then the final type of rest, the seventh type of rest, is spiritual rest. And Saundra defines spiritual rest as the ability to connect beyond the physical and mental and feel a deep sense of belonging, love, acceptance, and purpose. Now, spirituality is a very personal thing. There are sliding scales of spirituality, as there are with most things in life. I would not describe myself as a spiritual person. There are things around faith that I absolutely are part of my being. There are things around the way that I want to have my life and the way that I look at things in life. But I really loved this idea of spiritual rest, because if you can get beyond what your perception of spiritual is, if you don't see yourself as particularly spiritual, but find, well, what might this mean to me? I know, I will keep banging on about it, I'm really sorry. I live on the top of the Pennines, well, pretty much near the top of the Pennines. And some days when I don't know what it is I need, You will regularly find me walking either on my own or with the dog up to the top of the hill. And on a clear day on the top of our hill, you can see three counties. We can see out into the, this is really poor geography. I can see out into the sea off the northwest coast. Gonna go for Irish Sea. That could be really wrong. I can see out into that sea anyway. I can see out into the bay at Southport, Lytham, Blackpool, that area. And I stand there and I do it deliberately because it makes me feel small and insignificant in this amazing world, and yet also extremely lucky and extremely alive and extremely pleased and proud, and really gives me that sense of belonging of I am a tiny little ant on this very amazing world, and here I am for another day doing another thing. And I can't describe to you any more than that. I don't know that it's spiritual, but I think it probably is somewhere along the line of spiritual. I go there and I feel a whole host of things. Like I say, I feel insignificant. I feel hugely significant. I feel small. I feel large. I feel really, really part of something, and really, really part of something extraordinarily special all at the same time. And I get all of that from wrapping up in a massive coat and standing on top of a hill. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know what the thing is for you that says, welcome to another day on planet Earth. It's an absolute joy to be here and a privilege. And this is where I'm going to find my, you know, I have a sense of belonging and being. I do find that on top of a hill. I also find that snuggling my girls. I also find it in a whole host of places. But where is that place where you find that sense of just being and of belonging and of purpose and of love that I guess I can't really describe in any other way? You probably or possibly have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. This is why I said spiritual rest is quite hard to define, but there will be something, I'm hoping, in your life that seemingly for no reason at all, and potentially for every reason, gives you that feeling of belonging and of hope and of love and acceptance. And I genuinely hope that you are able to find that today and tomorrow and every other day. So, seven types of rest. I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts, to hear whether you feel you've got any of them nailed, whether you've never heard of any of them and it's literally been like a light bulb to you. But I can't emphasize enough just how important it is for you and for those around you to not just think about rest, but to absolutely work out where am I missing these things? Where could one of these, and finding what my solution to that is, could that really have a massive impact on my life? Let me know how you get on with your rest. All being well, I hope you'll come back next week and hear some more. Bye-bye. Find out more, to join my mailing list, and to be notified of when new blog and podcast episodes are launched, head to claire-warner.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E. Choose subscribe and sign up. While you're there, take a look in the freebies section. There are some downloads in there around workplace and individual well-being that you might find useful.